There we go. All right. Again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for March the 19th, 2014. Can we have the roll call, please?
Bennett? Here.
Burt?
Kapler?
Here.
Peters? Rafferty? Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay. Minutes from the last meeting. Has anyone reviewed those and have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve the minutes of the February 19th meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. We have approved the minutes from the last meeting. So again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting tonight. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review appropriate matters relative to plan and zone. So with that, Mr. Gregg, I'll proceed. Before I forget, if you're here to comment, the podium at my right and your left back there is where we would have you present to us if you've got anything to comment or add. And if you do, please feel free to do so and come up and give us your name and relative interest in the case. So with that, Greg, please, let's take it off.
Mr. Chairman, the first case before us tonight is Haley Heights Third Edition. Essentially, you have 53rd Avenue right here and Middle Road right here. Area we're looking at is outlined in blue, and plus there is this outline A right here, designated for stormwater detention. This is brought to us earlier as Haley Heights Additions Phase 2. An area I am outlining right now is essentially the area that's being considered tonight. Got again, the stormwater detention area over here. Entry from Emily Road North will be the primary means of access to the subdivision. And essentially what you see right here is the layout in the first stage. This is all R1 zoned, 40 lots. Emily Road here, I should say, and then Emily Court in this area. 55th Avenue will eventually be stubbed in over here in Beaver Meadows, one of those additions, and then Mason Run is the final street, and that accesses lots 1 through 18. Staff would also indicate that this area right here should be marked in some way, that outlot A should be put on here to designate it as an area that contains entirely the 100-year floodplain, that should be a part of this. Mr. Sankson, who oversees our areas of flood management, floodplain, suggested we put that in there, and that it is in part also of another plat, so we want to see some type of note on there designating that this area contains the floodplain, the 100-year for lots 9 and 10. And other than that, we don't have anything really to add, but we would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report and the additional condition regarding floodplain. I'd ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
I do have one.
Okay, Ann.
Greg, the preliminary plat shows Addison Drive, which kind of circles the perimeter of the undeveloped parcel, but I don't see that on the final plat. Can you shed any light on that?
Where were you looking again?
Or maybe I'm looking on the
This right here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This is the area that's
right
bonded, so it's not really per se it won't be on there because 55th Avenue comes across like this.
Okay, so.
And then 55th will continue that direction. Addison will be truncated right here.
So on the drawing that you have on the screen right now,
mm-hmm.
Show me where the final plat is that we're looking at tonight.
This is the southern boundary and this is the western boundary.
All right, thank you.
Greg, when you mentioned a minute ago about the plat notes in reference with John, were those to be added? They're yet to be added? Okay.
Should be added before final passage.
Okay. Anyone else on the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 14-011 with the
recommended staff comments.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-011, subject to staff recommendations and initial comment regarding the 100-year flood. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Case 14-011 passes. Okay.
Next up is Cobblestone Point Edition. This is the area that was rezoned from A1 to R2 last evening, and it pretty much contains the boundaries of Cobblestone Point. We've got 44 lots within this particular preliminary plat, and all 44 of these are going to be a part of the final plat. We did have a name change on Cattail Lane, turn that into Cobblestone Drive. It's shown here. And we do have outlots designated here for stormwater detention. And we pretty much, in looking at this proposal, listed the requirements, conditions in the report. We don't have anything to add subsequently, and we would recommend approval with those conditions. I would ask if there are any questions.
Questions on the part of the commission?
May I?
Please.
You made the change on Cobblestone, I'm assuming because you don't want the same street name on an east-west and north-south?
Correct. We have an ordinance that essentially says that addresses are oriented off of the western boundary of our city limits and then off the Mississippi River.
So
that everything...
So wouldn't that change apply to the Wildberry Drive as well?
What we did is we accommodated the developer on that because this is the 6200 block. We could have taken this segment here and potentially addressed it that way, but in this instance, because we've done this in the past, we had the addresses here meet up so that when you get to this point, it's like 6350 and this is 6355, so that they blend together right here. So you follow these addresses consecutively. This is already numbered up here as a north-south street. And we didn't feel that per se there was anything wrong with that order here, but we had to have a different order entering here because this is a 3400 block over here and this would have to be 3500. If we hadn't changed Cattail Lane all the way around, this would have started out at 6200, so there would have been a discrepancy of 2800 numerations there, and we don't want that. We look at the point of beginning and that dictates essentially what this range will be. It didn't seem as critical, though, for Wildberry Drive because we could merge these blocks in here and then people coming around here would see a consecutive numbering. And some of these, because they're so close together, when you change abruptly, you know, I think we're trying to keep some flow in there for people looking for addresses. It's not that easy because we do have these serpentine streets and, you have to figure out your beginning point and then where is everything going from there.
All right, that makes sense. Thank you. I didn't realize addresses were so complicated.
Very observant, Ann. Nice job. Hey, I have one question, Greg. Item 3 for recommended action, determination shall be made about the viability of Outlot B. That's the small rectangular one over there on the right, conveying stormwater to Outlot. So when will that happen and how will that happen?
Well, Mr. Freeze will indicate that to us.
Yeah, we spoke with the developer's engineer regarding that item. They are currently working on a plan, what we've been told to this point, a grading plan that would I don't know if it'll eliminate Outlot B, but the idea would be that they would get all the stormwater drainage either by surface flow or by storm sewer to Outlot A.
And eliminate B then potentially?
Potentially, and that might be something for John to address here. We're kind of working on that.
John White, Verbeck Meyer. Yeah, we are currently looking at that scenario, try to accommodate that comment that Brian and the engineering department have. We are we're currently looking at the grading design on the property, and if we do come up with a little heavy on the dirt, we can possibly raise Cobblestone Drive up enough to get that to flow from the east to the west towards Outlot A and detain it all there. If we can do that, then yes, we probably would like to eliminate Outlot B. And that's kind of where we're at with
that. Okay, great. Thanks for the clarification. Any other questions on the part of the commission? Anyone else in the audience in regard to this case? Seeing none, I'll return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 14-019, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-019, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next one, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this is a site plan for an upgrade to the existing Wendy's location. You got Middle Road here and then Spruce Hills Drive right here. This whole area is going to be redone. The entries, exits are going to be redone. The building will be totally removed and replaced with the new structure. In addition, the petitioner is pursuing adding this area here that is part of the current Teske site to this, and then that'll be a condition as well for future platting. This is the current lot as it stands today, the setback here, 25 feet for C1, and then you have an easement that runs all the way around in this area. This is the current Wendy's location. You've got Teske's right here, your entry here, and here into the locale. Eventually these entries will be shifted over so that you have two different entry points that tend to match the existing exits on this side of the street over here. This is the area that triangle is viewed from the west side of the site, and this is the area that would be acquired by the petitioner and then replatted as part of the site. This is your entry. This is where you come around in order and then go out. Pretty much you're going to follow that same type of direction in terms of the drive-up window. It's going to be pretty much in the same place. The structure is going to be situated a little bit differently than before, but you're going to be getting rid of these points of exit. You're going to be moving both the entry and the exit up further toward the north and west. Parking meets all of our requirements as necessary, and the stormwater system is what it is. Almost all this is impervious surface, just being replaced by the same amount. This is a closer view. The petitioner received a variance so that the building may encroach into the setback area. And the petitioner is adding the necessary landscape. We did go through the tree count with the arborvitae provided, and these deciduous overstory trees, they met the tree count as recommended. And this is the exterior look of the type of restaurant that Wendy's is proposing. And it's somewhat different from their conventional look. The one in Rock Island does not look like this one, even though the one in the Rock Island is clearly an upgrade from what they had, and it's clearly an upgrade from what we currently have. So this will be a different design that Wendy's is bringing to us. And in reviewing this, staff recommended approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions on the part of the commission?
Are those drives going to line up now? Because it,
I think that the from what we looked at before, I think that the drives tend to be causing maybe less of an issue. I don't know if they're lined up perfectly, but I think when we discussed this before, we didn't seem to think that there was as much of a conflict with the way that these are exiting out or entering in. They may not line up perfectly. They really don't line up that way right now, but I don't think that we saw enough of a traffic volume issue, you know, with this new design being proposed. We just didn't think there'd be that much of a problem.
With your question with lining up, is it across the street? Is that what you're referencing?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It's still going to be an improvement getting them further away from Middle Road, but just worry about the left-hand turns.
Greg, I'm not sure I understand this, the triangular lot between the Wendy's property and Teske's. Is this project include, it includes that? It,
yes, and the they will be bringing a what amounts to a replatting to this body, and we condition this so that there wouldn't be any building permits issued until this is acquired right here. Until this parcel gets acquired right here, you know, it's pretty much dead in the water. And we may, I would have to look at the conditioning again. We may even have this held up before it goes to City Council. But I do believe, I do know for certain, having discussed this with the Community Development Director, that we would hold this up in terms of issuing building permits until this is final platted right here.
Okay, so what we're approving is a site development plan, but that property hasn't been platted into this yet.
It has not, no.
All right. So do we need to make a conditional recommendation?
If you would want to make that recommendation, at least on the, I would say in terms of withholding any building permits until such time as the final plat has been recorded.
Okay. Which is, it's part of your staff recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's, I guess, what I just wanted to be sure. Thank you.
Anyone else? No. A couple of them for me, Greg. Item four, stormwater may not be conveyed in such a manner as to cause scouring or erosion to surrounding properties. My note there is, how is that verified? It's kind of a subjective standard. How do we monitor that?
I think what they've done is they've tried to contain the water on site as much as possible, so it will exit here and then it's connecting into an existing system right here over in the Teske site, so that they are absorbing or containing all the water on site so that there is no opening for it to come off over here and drop off. There's a substantial drop of 15 feet over here.
Right.
If you take it from the bottom point where the Episcopal Church's parking lot is and come up here, there's a 15-foot difference. So what we were concerned about is to make sure that the water is actually going to come to this area, all of it's going to be contained on site, so it's not leaving the site going here to Teske's as it currently is, or that there maintains a barrier here that will project the water to where it should leave into the drain and then go over to Teske's.
Okay, makes sense. Can you move to the larger scale site plan that you've got? Okay, a couple just questions, and I think the engineer's here, so maybe we can address that. In the peak, if you will, pinnacle up there for the, up by the end, we've got, it looks like the disposal, garbage disposal up there, or containers. If cars or vehicles were parked in those two adjoining spots, is that still accessible the way it's set up?
I think maybe the refuse collection will be done at a time when typically there won't be that much traffic. It might be earlier in the morning. Usually you try to coordinate that to make sure that you're not going to be there during a peak time. It'd be easier for the truck to get in and out. And for the most part, if people are going to park, they're probably going to park up here earlier in the morning. And many of them use the drive-through. I believe in almost every circumstance today that most of the customer service, the majority of it is done through the drive-through. I think just from personal experience, you can see that many of these restaurants are hardly occupied whatsoever. Most everybody's seemingly in such a hurry, they're using the drive-through to come through.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. And then one other question. The parking area just below the N for the north arrow, where there's a little island between the two spots right there. Again, same kind of question. If you had cars in both of those, do they not look like they'd bump into each other? I'm not sure the way it's designed, but maybe for clarity, they'll clear.
I mean, if they're backing out like
I just squared off the long length of each parking
sure, you
space
bet.
Yeah, and Jason looked at that Holdorf. And said they're touching each other.
Sure. Jason Holdorf with Missman. With regards to that, I believe that we need to make some more additional room there for an island for the tree anyway, I believe, as part of the landscape plan. So we'll be losing one of those two stalls
okay.
at this location.
I'd buy that. Great.
Yep.
Okay, good. And let me see if I had one other. It might be it. That was it. Great. Thanks. So, Jason, any other comments from the audience? Then you're the last one out there.
The only question I guess I would have is whether that is requiring an actual final plat, Greg, or what the, you know, if you could give a little clarification.
This area here is significant enough where we would, because it's not a linear area with about maybe like five or fewer feet for about 100 feet, we sort of have a rule that we in-house have regarding the transfer of land, and this right here, clearly there's enough here, and I discussed it with the community development director, and we acknowledge that there needs to be a final plat to incorporate this. When you look at anybody's gone down to the recorder's office, sees how much paper might be lying about things that are done transferring a property, and if something gets lost, typically, you know, you may end up owning more or less of what you think you own, and we prefer to have it, we've always done it by platting. As staff, we have run into some instances where people found out they owned more and less because something was later subsequently discovered at the courthouse. So if you have it all on a plat, then it's there, it's recorded, the documentation is very obvious to all parties.
Is that coming off of a platted lot as well? What's the coming
no,
off of?
No, this is not platted over
it's
here.
It's not platted, okay.
Because you're changing the boundaries of this subdivision. Essentially, we regard that as a replat because you're adding addition to it. You're not even taking away. You're putting more on.
I guess my concern is just from the time frame of having to bring a final plat back through the site plan or back through plan and zone and council again and trying to obtain the construction permit for the foundations and such. But I guess that would be my concern from the
That's something that at this time I think all I can go by is what we last discussed in-house and putting that condition in the report. So I can't modify that condition after we've had a group discussion. The community development director acknowledged it. He's not here to put his two cents in. So
I guess part of the reason I asked the question initially was I wasn't sure why we were looking at this now if it's going to come back later.
The final plat will come back. The site plan itself, we felt there was enough to move it through so that we keep stuff moving on an even keel, getting it approved, and then putting contingencies on it so that nothing is done on this site until such time as they actually have that property acknowledged as portion of this subdivision.
Okay. Well, I'm all for moving things forward, and I think as far as the site development plan, we're seeing everything we need to, and our questions have been answered. There is a condition on the staff recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't solve the timing problem. But
right.
To your point, Greg, I don't think there's a way to
we
to
really
go around
don't
what you're, where you're at
see
today.
That this is sort of lingering out there. We're trying to get stuff so that you tie up the loose ends because sometimes things just sort of have a way of just continuing on without resolution, and that's one thing we don't want to run into.
We'll bring it to the owner's attention, and we'll try to get it into the March.
Okay.
See if we can get it submitted by the end of March to get it into the April P&Z meeting, and then hopefully to that first meeting in May. Might still work out with their time frame. So that's what we'll shoot for, and I'll talk to the owner.
Great, and love the concept, and looking forward to seeing that whole section there look a lot nicer. So thank you. Okay, anyone have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 1420.
I'll second that.
Subject to staff recommendations.
Sure.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14020, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 14020 passes. Thanks. And that takes us, I think, to a commission update.
Commission update, yeah. At a March 4th approved Orchard Park preliminary plat. I mean, that is the city council approved it. And then the Vizient parking lot, as well as the building addition, was approved also at the March 4th meeting for site plan. And then last evening, we had the public hearing and first reading for Lot 43, Highlands 3rd, which was the land use change going from office transitional to traditional residential, and then from going from C5 office transitional to R3, single and two-family residence district. And then also we had the Hart's property, A1 to A2, rezoning public hearing and first reading at that meeting. And then we had the final readings of the Flix property, I2 to C2 for zoning, and then Cobblestone Point, A1 to R1, or A1 to R2, that is, for that. And also the contract was let for RDG, approved by City Council. I should say it's in the process, at least approved by City Council, so that the comp plan will start rather quickly, I believe, the processes. So see how that goes.
Exciting. Good. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, we're hoping for green grass next time we meet. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes, and we are adjourned.